Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, GoFundMe is used by people all over the world and for a huge variety of reasons. But in North America, particularly during the pandemic, a large proportion of GoFundMe campaigns are aimed at paying for the basics: medical care, food and shelter. Dr. Jeremy Snyder is a bioethicist at Simon Fraser University in Canada, and he joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Now, you've done, you've carried out studies into this. So in proportionate terms, how many people on GoFundMe in North America are trying to fund medical care, for instance?
Yeah, it's by far the biggest category. Usually GoFundMe reports it at about a third of all the campaigns and around that many donations as well. So it's a really big chunk of their business.
And what kinds of medical procedures are people looking for?
You know, it really varies by country. So, you know, in the U.S., with all the huge gaps that they're notorious for in medical insurance, you know, you have people funding basic care like cancer care, hip surgery, that sort of thing. In Canada, where we have much better coverage, you still have really big gaps. So you'll see people who are not able to work because they have an injury or what have you. And so they're trying to get that taken care of, or they're trying to afford parking or even transportation to get medical care. And then you'll have people who are really like experimental care that's not going to be covered. So it might be, you know, an experimental stem cell treatment, or, you know, in some cases you see really tragic things like people going for homeopathic care for cancer that there's no evidence that's going to work. But they're trying to get money online to take care of that.
All of which is particularly tragic. Does GoFundMe limit to any extent what you can try to raise money for?
Really just extreme things. So you saw, for example, during the last days of the Trump campaign that they were limiting people to raise money to go to the insurrection. In some cases, if you're a really right-wing Nazi organization, they'll limit that. And there have been a couple of cases where people are raising money for unproven treatments where it's known to be a scam that they've limited those. But usually it's much more right wing, fascist organizations or something like that.
Yeah. OK, so possibly not that much then. But as I understand that, one of the founders of GoFundMe has berated the federal government for not supporting people more.
Yeah, that's been really a new trend. So they have a new CEO in the last year who's been starting to do interviews and op-eds saying, you know, it's really unfortunate that we have to stand in for this, that the U.S. Congress should be doing more to provide coronavirus relief and to help people out and do that sort of thing. So they have been starting to say, you know, to recognize that people see this as this really unethical and tragic situation where people are raising money for rent and housing and basic medical care.
Yeah, though at the same time, they're making money from all that, I assume.
Yeah, you know, they're doing incredibly well. It's one of those things where I think people have pointed out that, you know, Amazon, for example, has been a huge winner from the pandemic, where, you know, people are sitting at home and ordering stuff to their houses, and they're making lots of money through that. At the same time, GoFundMe has put out some information that their activity has gone through the roof with all the people trying to raise money for medical care for the coronavirus, but also globally to meet their rent, to deal with being laid off from work and that sort of thing. So it's a lot of activity. Typically, they get around 5% of those donations. So they certainly haven't provided any information about what their profits are from this, but you have to imagine it's huge.
Yeah. Okay. So they're doing pretty well from it. And do people know? Because I would assume there's a certain amount of skill when you set up a GoFundMe page in terms of making your pitch and garnering people's sympathy.
Yeah, there definitely is. You can actually, there are websites, there are podcasts, people have gone through to show how to be a champ at running a really good campaign, how to try to get viral. There's lots of advice out there about how to reach out to journalists and try to get news coverage of your campaign. That's a really good way to get additional funds. There are people who have set up these really complicated teams to provide constant updates and video and to reach out. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, some of these campaigns are, you know, it's just a good story and people do really well with that. But in a lot of cases, it's because people have this huge skill set to really reach out to a lot of people.
And if you have that skill set, or indeed implicit in what you were saying is a certain degree of resources to be able to fund your GoFundMe campaign, so to speak, does it then disproportionately advantage people who are better off already?
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence of that. I mean, some of it's common sense that, you know, if you have a lot of friends and family or networks who are better off, those are going to be the people who can help donate to you. But beyond that, you know, when you're reaching out to potentially strangers, of course, if you have, you know, connections with news media, that's helpful. If you've got a educational background where you can express yourself really well, that's going to be an advantage. But I think most tragically, what we're seeing is evidence that people donate based on some of the factors that we see in society more largely. So there's some evidence in the U.S., for example, that if you're Black, you're not going to do as well. In some cases, if you have a medical condition that's not seen as sympathetic, you're not going to do as well. Kids do a little bit better. Which I guess is a good thing, but again, it's sort of a popularity contest and built on sympathy. So, in a lot of ways, it just reproduces all of the injustices and biases and stigma and racism that we see in society already.
Yeah, because I suppose we're using different language to describe it, but it's essentially a form of begging.
Yeah, I mean, it puts people in this really difficult situation. You see this all the time when you're reading these campaigns that people will say, you know, I've never asked for money in my entire life, but at this point, I have to do it or I'm going to die. Or you'll see people just completely, you know, embarrassed by the situation that they're having to reach out to friends and families just for these basic needs. And really how it's built in, you have to do that. You have to really give a lot of details about your life to make sure that you're proving that this is a legitimate need. You know, you have to go into your medical details. You have to give your name to prove that it's not fraud. And all the advice that people get around these campaigns is that you want to make it personal. You want to share lots of updates. You want to put on pictures. You want to put on videos. All these things that are really invasive to your privacy. So I think for people, you know, it's not a situation they want to be in, and it's a really tough one. But if you want to succeed with this, you really have to open it up and essentially beg for money.
Yeah. Well, and given all you just said there, that's actually possibly worse than begging, because if you're just in the physical context of begging, no one's going to come up to you and ask you for an ID and give some sort of rundown on your status in life if you're looking for money.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, along with the begging, there's can be stigma around it. So people, you know, certainly might feel that through it. And, you know, in the old days, you know, asking for money for medical care is nothing new. Mm. You know, when I was a kid, you'd see, you know, maybe at the gas station or what have you, there'd be a can out for somebody in the community to make donations because they're, you know, having trouble making rent or need a medical procedure. And that's a little bit more passive, and that's not going to be quite as invasive. That's not, you know, a can on the counter certainly isn't the same as having to have regular video updates and pictures of you in your hospital bed and all that sort of stuff.
Are there alternatives to GoFundMe?
Yeah, there are quite a few. I think in, you know, worldwide, I think every country, GoFundMe is definitely the most dominant one and certainly very active in Ireland, but there are quite a few more out there. These general problems of having to you know, open yourself up and all these inequities are pretty common. And what I'd say is that, you know, if you do want to help somebody out, if it's somebody that is friend or family or somebody near you, then that's a good way to avoid some of these problems. It's not going to be, you know, somebody that you might have helped anyway, and GoFundMe or any other of these websites is just going to make it easy to raise money and donate.
Yeah.
More generally, if you just want to help somebody out, there are some websites like WATSI.org, WATSI is a really good example, where, you know, they go out to hospitals in less wealthy parts of the world and partner with them to raise money for people who are really, really in need. And they do a lot more to protect the privacy of those individuals. So that's a good example. If it's just in your heart to help somebody out, that's a really good way to make your money count and to make sure it's helping people who are really, really in need.
Jeremy, thanks very much for speaking with us today. Jeremy Snyder is a bioethicist and professor in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Simon Fraser University in Canada.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.